Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Let's Talk Urban with host Felicia Bradshaw
and Urban Grapevine Magazine Project.
Your number one source for the hottest author in urban fiction talk. Get put on. Yes. Book it at let's.talk.urban1@gmail.com. Boom.
Hello, everyone. You've tuned in to Let's Talk Urban, and our guest today is Seven McCray of Peach Dollhouse. We will be discussing her Real Black Wives of Atlanta. We'll be asking a few questions on loving trap houses of Atlanta. So we just know that everything is based in Atlanta. So the ATL is always an interesting topic, so I'd like to thank Seven for coming out and stepping up to the platform, and let's talk urban. I'm going to bring her in after I tell you a little bit about her. Seven McCray is from Atlanta, Georgia. She was raised in the west side of Atlanta. She attended both elementary and high school, always having a love for reading and anything that she could get her hands on. She started writing short stories and poems. Seven was urged to enter an essay contest by her fifth grade teacher that was sponsored by the city of Department of Public Safety. After winning her first contest, she continued to enter them and win them every month until she finished elementary school. Wow. Writing became second nature, and soon she was tutoring peers and assisting her teachers with graded English papers. Seven McCray joined the Journalism Club and had her own advice column as well as writing articles weekly. By the time she finished high school, she knew that writing is what she wanted to do. Majoring in English education and criminal justice, Seven continued using her writing skills as a peer tutor all throughout her education. Using her writing, proofreading, and editing skills, she tackled corporate America. She now resides in south of Atlanta with her two children, hard at work finishing her master's in creative writing and in the lab. Juggling between working at her newly formed publishing company, Peach Dollhouse Publications, co-owned with fellow author Chanel Smith, which is an imprint of SBR Publications, and writing. Her most recent novel, The Real Black Wives of Atlanta, made it to number one in African American fiction. And stayed there for 3 weeks straight. It was published by SBR Publication and is currently available for download as well as in paperback, along with her debut novel, What the Lick Red. I hope I'm saying that right. Every time I read it, I think I'm not. The Triple Cross. Look forward to a collaboration that she is currently working on with fellow authors at SBR, the Bankroll Squad, and the upcoming sequels to her first two novels. Check her out and stay abreast of everything Seven at www.sevenmcray.com or www.peachdollhouse.com. So, now that we just touched what Seven has done, we're going to pull her into the room and let you guys get to know the woman behind the pen. Hi, Seven.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
Out there in the ATL.
Yeah, dirty. It was a pretty day today, but it's going to be cold tomorrow. That's one thing about Georgia weather. It'll be 71 day and 3 the next.
Ooh.
Yeah, our weather is very, very bipolar.
I moved out here from Connecticut. I'm in California now. And in Connecticut, my daughter said she had snow going up to the door. And I said, well, it ain't as sunny as you think it is here. I still wear a sweat jacket and everything because it's a little greasy. But it ain't nothing like the cold air y'all got.
Yeah. I'm not complaining because this time last year, we were snowed in literally, like, because we're not equipped for snow. Our city literally shut down when it snowed. So I'm not complaining about the weather at all, as long as it's not snowing.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little crisp air. You better do beat that snow. So, you know, I want to really touch base on your writing as a whole. And the more I keep looking at your titles, I'm picking up almost like a hood version of all the reality shows that are out now. Was that your...
Because I got the idea from the Real Black Wives of Atlanta. Me and my girlfriends, we were just sitting around one day looking at the show, and we had recently heard an interview about, we seen an interview where they had rented their houses and those weren't their cars, and they were saying how different boutiques and things were, like, giving them the clothes and stuff, and we were like, oh, we need our own show because at least these are our houses, cars, and clothes. You know, and so it kept coming up in my mind. Like, the more I watched, I was like, and I was just seeing different stuff going on with me and my friends and friends of friends, and I started writing. And there was the Real Black Wives LM. Because I had a cover done for it. I had to finish, like, half of the book. And then David Weaver came to me, and he wanted to sign me. And I was like, I don't want the lick because that's your baby. But what else you got? Or what else can you work on? And I was telling him, I was like, well, I got the Real Black Wives of Atlanta, and it's almost finished. And he was like, send it to me. And when he read it, he was like, I love it. Yeah, this is what we're going to go for. And that was it.
I'd like to see it in straight to DVD. Be nice to catch it live.
Yeah, I really want. I would love for that to be not even straight to DVD because it's so multifaceted and it's like one of them stories that can go on and on. I would like to see like a mini series or something, kind of like The Wire or something, or you know, like maybe something that goes straight to Hulu or straight to Netflix. That you can watch every day. I mean, you know, or watch every week. Because I don't think a movie, 120 minutes wouldn't be enough.
So what do you think about, is that the one that you would prefer to see live more so than Love and Trap Houses?
To tell you the truth, to be honest, I would love to see with the lick read be a miniseries. I would love for that to be a miniseries. Yeah, it's Wet the Lick read. I would love for that to be a miniseries.
Who's Lick? Explain the title.
That is like a very common thing in Miami, Florida. And I went to Miami for vacation, and I heard them saying it all the time. And that's like a greeting. Like, that's their equivalent of saying, what's up? So when I came back to Atlanta, I was saying it all the time, and then I turn on the radio and I hear T.I. and Rick Ross singing in a song, and I'm like, okay. But then when I was saying it, people in Atlanta really didn't get it, because when we say lick, that kind of means, it can mean robbery or, yeah, something like that. So people are like, wait a minute, what that mean? So I kind of took a play on it because it means so many different things. And so all those things are in that book. So that's where I went with that, in that direction, yeah.
That was your first book, because I remember that.
Yep, that was my very first book, yep.
Now, how do you see your pen growing? Because I see you went from Book the Lick Read, then what was it?
The Real Blockwise of Atlanta Part 1.
Right.
And then I wrote, and then after that, the next book I did was a collaboration with Robin Chanel, which was Chanel Jones. She changed her name. It was called Peach Dollhouse, and it was because she's on the West Coast, so it was basically like a West Coast to East Coast type of book because the characters, they moved from California to Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And then came the sequel to Wet the Lick Read. And then after that, it was Love and Trap Houses.
Atlanta.
Actually, I don't think I write fast enough. I guess because my counterparts, I'd be seeing people spin books out, and I'm like, okay, I can't write like that. I have ADD, though. Like, I literally have attention deficit disorder. So the fact that I write as much as I do now is like really good.
But you know what, Seven, the pace you take for you is the pace you take for you. Because I do watch the lifespan of these books, and you couldn't possibly be recouping what you put into it. You know what I mean? We ain't just talking money. We're talking time. We're talking creativity. You're putting them out right. Don't be that every 30-day person, because those books are getting so similar to each other because your mind has left the first book up.
But I have found... Yeah, I found that a lot of the books that seem to come out like every 30 days, you know, we tend to break the book up into three parts. And so a lot of times when an author submits their book, it'll already be like a part one and a part two, or it might even be a part one, two, and three.
Right.
Because the book be so long. Because, like, when I did Wet the Lick Read, that book was 95,000 words. But see, I did that on my own. Like, I didn't know anything, and I was just writing. Well, the Lick Read could have been really broken up into a lot of parts in itself because that's one of my things. Like, every chapter ends, in my books, every chapter ends with a climax to make you want to go to the next chapter. So I could have very well ended it at any chapter. So a lot of the authors that submit, like, that kind of be one of the things, and it seems like they're dropping books back to back, when in actuality, what they submitted was a very long novel that was broken down after the fact.
Right. My first book was Eyes on a Prize, and it was pretty long, and I never stopped. I just kept writing. But I did know that this was the end of book one. But when I kept writing, and I said, this is going to be like, you know, a part two, it was 140,000 words.
Exactly. So you understand what I'm talking about.
Right. It was broken when me and J.P. Simmons broke it up. We broke it into all
I love her. Words. I love her. Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Don't you just love her? She's just a mess.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. Yeah. I met her when she was one of my people that I used to inbox and ask questions to when I first came in the game. And this, you know, a lot of people really, you know, really helped me when I first came in the game because I didn't know anything. Like, everything I learned was pretty much research and stuff I learned in groups. And then, like, when I got finished with my book, I became friends with David Weaver, come to find out, he actually was friends with my brother already, and he kind of helped me as far as telling me about different editors and different graphic artists and stuff like that. So, like, my first cover, Brittany Williams, done, and she's done every other she's done all of my covers. She's done all my covers since 2010, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
now, will you?
I met some real good people on my journey, on my literary journey.
And that's a blessing because, you know, that story's rarely told. You know what I mean? You always get the new authors that say, you know, people don't want to tell you anything. And when they want to tell you, they want to charge you. And I know, JP, you can get a lot of information from her and that she does.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't the one to say, well, I don't know, or, you know, she really will break it down because she taught me a lot as well. And just to know people like that, period. If you're serious about writing, don't waste nobody's time. You know what I mean? But if you're serious, people will help now. They didn't used to. But I think so many people are being helped. People are reaching back also helping.
Yeah, because that's what I do that now because, like, I wouldn't be where I was without people, you know, telling me, okay, this I don't know how to do it, but this person who did it for me or this who you need to talk to, like, I really appreciate that, you know, cause, and then I wasn't sent in the wrong direction as far as, because there's a lot of people out here that's making fools out of people. I'm lucky that the people that I was directed to weren't people that, you know, were the bad seeds. It's a few bad seeds in the game, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and everything, and every part of life, and everything you do, there's some seedy people, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what makes the good people good, you know, when there's a balance of the seedy. So I see this as the side nigga Chronicles. Now, was that put out by Peach?
That was put out by Peach Dollhouse, and actually, Chanel actually came up with that idea. Robin Chanel, she came up with that idea, and then we pitched it to the girls. Like everybody write their own short story based off of what happens when they got a side nigga or what their opinion is of a side nigga, and everybody kind of did their own thing.
Okay.
And one of our authors, her name is Michelle Johnson, she ended up full book off of what her short story was about.
Oh, so she spit it off of the book and ended up doing...
Yeah, she did. Yeah, I gave all of them the opportunity to spin it off as a book, and she was the first one that did it.
I have an anthology I'm going to put out in March, Set Missions. Or one anyway, and I think that's the best way to do it, where you're either going to bring me one of your characters that you already wrote about and give me an explanation about why they're like that, or the opposite, like how you did. I think it makes it worth people's while, too, to even do an anthology, you know?
Yeah, and everybody's different take on side niggas. Like, everybody gave a different take, and a lot of them ended up kind of having the same the same spin on it, because we didn't discuss it while we was doing it. So everybody had, like, different opinions, and it was crazy. I really enjoyed writing it. I really enjoyed reading it once it got finished. I was like, oh, gosh. Like, when I was reading all the girls' stories, I was like, okay, we had some crazy ones, and It was a good book. It was a very good book.
Now, are you thinking about doing any more anthology submissions out for writers to submit their work for?
Yep, I would love. I plan on doing that this year. I really want to reach back and take some authors under my wing, and, you know, try to help them like I was helped. Because it feels good to have somebody that is always, like, there to help you, you know, so you won't be blindly in the blind, because there's a lot of people that know how to write, want to write, and everything, and they don't know what the next step is after they've started their story, or they don't know once they finish what to do with it. There's people that's just sitting on great books, sitting on bestsellers, because they don't know what to do. A lot of people lazy, don't want to do it themselves, you know. They don't want to do the research to learn how to do it themselves.
Not just lazy, but also a lot of people can write a good story and don't know what to do, and they don't put the effort into trying to find out, because when they hear, oh, you're self-publishing, and it seems overwhelming, and they ask to wait. And so
exactly.
I
think that's one of the reasons why we have so many independent publishing companies now, because a lot of people don't want to kind of do the legwork. And then once it's done, they're like, oh, I could have did that myself. I'm like, yeah, you could have, but
afterwards.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you get a lot of people like, yeah, I could have, I knew some of that. That's all that I had to do.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they say. That's all you did? I'm like, yeah, kind of.
And that kind of gets mad at you. Like, you, that's all you have to do. I think that my royalty should be that.
Yeah.
You should have did your homework first, honey.
Exactly. Research. Right now in the age of Google, if you get made a fool of, it's really on you, because like everything is literally at the tip of your fingers. Like
it is.
You click.
Hey, you know what? It's two the rules. You don't even have to read nothing no more. You could watch a YouTube.
Exactly.
YouTube. But
yeah.
You don't have to read nothing nowadays. Stuff can get read to you. You can sit and listen to an audio book nowadays. So you're right. If bad stuff happened to you, like that off the chain bad stuff, like I can't believe you didn't know that type stuff happened to you. It is your fault. There's so much information out there. It almost would be like catching a venereal disease and not know what it is. You sound fool.
Exactly.
All these just say old commercials, you should knew. So you right.
Yep, it's literally the information age. When they say it's the information age, it literally is, because information is right at the tip of your fingertips. All you got to do is just reach out and grab it.
The power of Google Learning.
It's my best friend. It's my best friend. I used to walk around with encyclopedias. Now I just one click.
But you know what's really good for marketing? What is it? Office Marketing Experts, AME. I mean, they give you so much information, it don't make no sense. And it's and you sign up. You have to give up your email, but it's okay. I haven't really gotten a whole bunch of spam behind it, but Authors Marketing Experts, they are they also on Facebook, and you sign up for their little
I never heard of it. Okay.
Honey, they give you 52 free tips. They give you more than that, really, but 52 main free tips, and you get a real strong marketing tool once a week.
Oh, that's awesome. I will definitely look into that. Thank you so much for the information. I'm writing it down right now.
I mean, they really... It's not our genre, and I think that's what makes the information stronger, because it's not saturated with urban fiction marketers or urban fiction, you know what I mean, folks. So you probably will, a lot of it, put your spin on it, because they gave a really good list of bloggers. Let me write it down for you. I'm going to send it to you in a email, the bloggers list.
Okay, I appreciate that.
I know, because bloggers are the, come on. They put your work out there. Some of them also, you don't got to wait a long time to get a spotlight. And a lot of them aren't too, prejudiced towards urban fiction. A lot of them are really... versatile as far as what they put out. I think it was like 1,001 bloggers on it. Some of them you have to put in what the subgenre, like, you know what I mean, like if it's going to be romance or if it's going to be, we'll tell you what that bother takes. It was a really good list. And the power, you're right, the power of Google is amazing because I ran into them by accident. So let's talk about, I get a lot of offers, and but I don't get a lot of publishers. So let's tap into Peach Dalhouse.
Okay.
Now, who is there anybody, who's under the label of Peach Dalhouse?
Well, Peach Dalhouse is currently in reconstruction. I'm doing a whole new, I'm not going to say I'm starting from scratch, but I am doing reconstruction,
okay,
I guess
like
I could say.
I'm revamping.
I'm revamping the whole brand. This is really my first time speaking of it. It's now going to be Seven McCray Presents. And I have, let me see.
Will you be going off on your own? Are you at Seven?
No.
I do write
up under Seven McCray Presents, but I'm still part of David Weaver Presents as well. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's a very strong distribution too. Well, and for a while, like 900. You look up, you be like, "What? That's another imprint." He ain't playing around.
Yeah, I'm still part of David Weaver Presents. He's a great mentor and friend. Like, you know, so I really like appreciate him and just the whole squad, the whole TBRS, like, they are really, like, family to me because I just lost my mom, and they were there. They so close to me than my real family, so, like, I love them to death, like, seriously.
Yeah, that's a family.
Yeah, that's a family. It's a family.
That's
it's
right.
Really
that's
a family.
I mean, you hear, you know, you do hear bad stuff about not just Bankroll Squad, but the larger publishing companies. But people don't realize, though, some of them stories be sourpuss stories.
Exactly. It be people that's bitter. They be mad, you know. So when you're mad, you tend to talk about a person in a bad light, you know. And like I always say,
those are also people who don't do their homework and get into a business and blame everything back on anybody except themselves, too.
Yep.
I ran into a hothead, you know, that say, oh, that publishing company, I wouldn't mess with them. And I'd be saying, well, gosh, I don't hear a lot of that. Must be kind of like your problem if you don't hear it constantly, you know what I mean? So, well, having a strong backing, has that made you make this decision to revamp?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Having such a strong backing, and him also being your mentor and teacher, has that made you sit back and say, well, you know, there's some things missing with Peach Dalhouse, and I want to be rebranded?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did, because a lot of people don't know that Peach Dalhouse is Seven McCray. And I have a lot of loyal readers that are loyal to me as Seven McCray, and they don't know that Peach Dalhouse is mine. And so with me doing that, it kind of, you know, gives the newer authors a leg up because I'm not going to put out everything that's submitted to me because I got a degree in English, so I'm not putting out somebody's work just to say they wrote a book or
right.
You know,
that's your brand.
I go through it. Yeah, I go through them. So, I mean, I think my name will hold a lot of weight, you know.
More so than the Peach Dalhouse.
Exactly. It's being quality work.
Okay. That makes a lot of marketing sense, honey. That makes, I mean, people, that's a lot of work, too, to start dusting off stuff and, you know what I mean, and making and tightening some screws, making stuff a little stronger, your foundation's stronger. And you almost want to say, dang, I should have did that from the beginning. Like, where would I be? But I guess there's a season and a time for everything. So,
yeah,
you pace yourself and get wiser. It'd be feeling good at you, like, ooh.
Exactly, because, like, it was my first year, and, you know, you learn a lot of things through trial and error, you know.
Yeah.
So, especially when you're starting off on your own, because people have been asking me to publish them since I put out With the Lick Read, but I wouldn't. But once I did the Blockwise, I started considering it. I was like, well, maybe I should start my own publishing company. I do know business well, and so that kind of made me go toward that. But I've learned a lot during my first year, because my first year anniversary, Four Piece Dollhouse, was just in November. So I learned a lot during that time. So I'm taking what I've learned in my year, and I'm starting fresh with something new.
Makes sense. So yeah. with Senator McCray presents, will you just be doing starting out with this ebook, or are you going to offer the whole shebang? You know, ebooks, paperback with distribution, or are you going to test out your authors through ebooks?
I'm gonna let my authors do their own paperback. I will instruct them on how to do their paperback. I will guide them in that, but I'll let them have their paperback right.
Wow. You say you're starting when? Ooh,
yeah. I'm letting them have their paperback rights, because, like, a lot of companies don't do that. They don't do that.
What?
And they even if they do that, they don't they tend to not let the authors have their free will with their paperbacks, or let them teach them how to do their paperbacks.
But it's hard though, distribution wise, when you do paperback and don't have enough titles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It kind of makes you a little stagnant with your paperbacks if you don't have enough titles under you where you can get extended distribution through like space or whatever. I was only asking because I know some imprints kind of piggyback ride the father company, and they tap into their distribution, like for like Walmart and stuff like that, where you need to have 10 or more titles in order to even be considered to be put on a shelf at Walmart.
Yeah.
So
I'm still really researching it, because I actually have an in at Walmart. I'm really still researching it, but like I'm about to have enough titles, so if my authors wanted to do that, because I have all of the Peach Dollhouse books except for a few of them will become Seven McCray's Presents books. So,
okay.
I had a partner with Peach Dollhouse, but it still kind of was all me in the paper term. So,
right.
I can still bring those titles with me.
Okay. Yeah, because you will have, your seventh book, eighth?
Yeah, but I published, it's over, I think I have 24 Peach Dollhouse books.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's enough titles. When you embark on this publishing journey, what do you think is going to be the hook for people to say, I want to be Stephen McRae's author? I want to get down. What will it be? What do you think will be the hook that's going to get authors to want to be part of your family?
Hopefully it will be my body of work and the fact that I'm there for my authors. You know, they can call me at any time, whatever they need help. Yeah, and whatever they need help with and or anything, because I have someone like that does that for me. So I'm paying it forward. You know, like with him being my mentor and my publisher, he shows me how to do a lot of things. So I would want someone to be, I would want to be there for someone like he's there for me, basically. Because it's a good feeling to have somebody you can call to, like, look, I'm stuck, or I need a few more days, or whatever it is. Or can you show me how to wrote this or do this, that, and third? Like, that's a good feeling to know you're not alone in it. That's one thing about self-publishing versus joining a team, to know you got a whole bunch of other people finna put your link up, who finna walk your cover, who finna go hard for you like you would go for yourself. That makes a big difference when it comes to self-publishing versus... It really makes a big difference. And then, like I say, when you join a team, y'all tend to become family. So even if you just need to talk to somebody, be like, I'm stuck, girl. What do you think I should do? Let me send this to you just to have somebody to bounce ideas off of. That's a big help. Because I know I inbox somebody quick and be like, whew, girl, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I got a writer's blocker. When you read the book, what direction do you think my part two should start off with? Like, I do people like that all the time.
Yeah.
And you can't do random people like that.
But you know what? But I think some authors are scared to do that. You know what I mean? Because you hear such horror stories about dreaming, you know what I mean? Or tapping somebody. People don't understand. You help somebody or you answer a tap. From somebody tapping you, it's a blessing to them, then they'll do it, and it'll come back around to you.
Yeah, it will. It will.
Recycling blessings is all about, period.
Yeah. And see, I guess because I came in on that, and I really haven't had, I see a lot, of course, by us being in social media, we see a lot when it comes to the publishing companies and how the authors act toward one another, stuff that we didn't see being on the outside as just readers. You know, social media makes everybody seem like they're right at the tip of your hand, so people tend to be more familiar with you. And so we see a lot of stuff that we didn't used to see. And so with that being said, it's like you kind of be leery, like, should I talk to this person or should I do this or should I do that? So it's about kind of like overcoming your fear. You just got to have, you know, choose your best judgment and just hope for the best, because anything can happen in any situation.
And you just got to know that you're worth it, too. And your writing is worth it. And it's okay to ask, because the worst thing somebody can tell you is no. But like
exactly.
You said, everything is kind of at your fingertips now. On to the next one.
Exactly, because it feels good to be able to. It's people's book who I read over the years, and now I can call them. I call them friends, like Quan. Like, I go to him all the time. This one, like, I call him my literary. Like, I love him to death. I've been reading his books forever, but to be able to say I can call him a friend, you know,
like, it's so weird, right?
Yes,
isn't that weird.
What are you talking about? Like, yes, literally, it really is. It really is.
He was, I think, and like, he is like, he was, when I was reading, my first book came out 2007. And when I was still reading him. And I had my first review by, I think it was Raw Sisters. And it was like, if you like Quan, or if you like Shannon Holmes, you'll love Felicia Bradshaw. I like the die. I almost started crying.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Or when somebody like, hits you up that you looked up to, and they'd be like, oh, keep up the good work, or I'm watching you, and you like, wait a minute, did she start this? You watching me? Oh, my God. Like, I just turn into a talk. Like, I stand for them. Like, they, I'd be like, okay. But then it's people that do that for me, and I'd be like, wow. Like, I was in the grocery store, and this girl was, I was at Walmart, and this girl in front of me was buying a book. The girl at the register said, if you like that book, you might need to try this girl named Seven McCray book. Like, I literally almost fainted. I was like,
oh, I know you did. I
was like, she asked the girl, she was like, you from Atlanta? She was like, yeah, I'm from Atlanta. She was like, well, it's this girl, her name is Seven McCray, she's from the West Side. All her books will be about West Side, and all that stuff will be familiar to you. You ought to read her book. And I just kind of, like, my voice cracked. When I said something, but my voice cracked, that's why I was like, I'm Seven McCray. The girl was like, no, you ain't, because I'm her friend on Facebook. And I was like, I just took my braids out, but I'm her. She was like, oh, my God. And I was just like, wow. And that was with the leakery. So, like, my book hadn't even came out in paperback or anything. So, for her to be, I was like, wow. Like,
it really is a good thing.
It really was.
I met Quan because my partner at the time grew up with him. I was like, you what? You grew up like he came from Mars or somewhere. You grew up with Quan? Oh, my God. She was like, I'm going to introduce you to him. We were at the my very first comic book fair. And she tapped him on the shoulder. I just stood there, like, stuck on stupid. Like, you would have thought I met Fred Flintstone or something. I was just like, oh, my, he does exist.
Yeah.
And
like, I went to an event.
Dude.
Yes, but you know what? You wouldn't think that a lot of people would be humble. Like, even me, I'm real humble, and I don't, like, I went to an event last week, a business. It was like an entrepreneur sleepover for women. It was so many women there that knew who I was. Like, I'm there to get information, but they was like, you need to be up here presenting. I'm like, wow. Like, I know who you is. You was Stephen McCray. I'm like, wow. Like, I was standing out over them standing out over me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, wow.
Yes. It's a good feeling.
So it's a very good feeling. It's a very good feeling. And I'm happy that I put out quality work that makes people, you know, stand out about me, you know. So I'm happy
that. You said you knew you wanted to be a writer. You knew that you wanted to be a writer.
I can honestly say I always knew I wanted to be a writer. Like, once I read my first, I started out reading, like, Judy Blume and stuff like that, and I was like, okay.
Girl, Tiger Eyes. Oh, my God. I love Judy Blume.
Like, I used to read those, but then I got a hold of some Donna Goins books. And when I read Donna Goins books, it was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to write about people that come from where I come from. Like, I want to write about people coming from nothing and making themselves into something.
But, you know,
like, I want to write about
it was different for me. I grew up a little privileged. And
okay.
When I read, I don't mean to be rude, but how old are you? Around.
I graduated from high school in 1996. But, yeah, my birthday was, like, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, my birthday was 2 weeks ago. I just turned 37.
I'm 45. So, but when I started writing, I was just like you. I started with the Judy Blume, and I started with Tiger Eyes and Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And I just kept going, Super Fudge. And you couldn't get enough of her. But when I was reading, I still was making everybody black. And then my mom was like, you're a little more mature. I got something for you to read. And it was Man, Child, and the Promised Land by Claude Brown. I was like, black people live like that? Like, I have a clue. And after that, it was Donna Cornish. And after that, oh, no, it was Alice Childress. And it was Rainbow Jordan, the heroine, nothing but a sandwich. And then it started getting rough into the Donna Cornish Black Girl Lost first book.
Yes.
What?
Yes, yes.
It was like a drug. It was like a drug.
Yeah.
I started getting addicted to the neighborhood. Forget the writing. I wanted to be in the neighborhood. And we lived predominantly white. And then if you went two main streets parallel, over, the projects was there. Honey, what? I mean, I was like a tourist. I was in the projects looking around like, oh, my God, pissy elevators. I read about that. Like,
yeah, because when I was reading the Donna Goins book, like, I'm literally, like, putting the neighborhood characters into that, into whatever.
You were plugging people in?
Somebody like that. Oh, that could be Miss Deborah. Like, I'm thinking about my friend's mom. Like, I had my own little universe going on in my head. Like, ooh, I know who that could be, like, you know, so yeah. And then once I read those type of books, I couldn't go back to reading Judy Blume or The Sweet Valley High or, you know, those type of books. I was like, okay, I can't read those no more.
We got tainted with the hood. Like,
yes,
oh my God.
Yes. Because
so
we
you,
had...
So, with that said, your strengths, when you write, your first character that came to your head that tapped on you and said, I got something to tell you, who was it?
Who was it? I model I call what I do, I call it reality fiction, because 85% of what I write is true. I tend to mesh people together to come up with one person, or I would divide a person into multiple people.
You build your people up. I get it. You like a recipe. Like, I'm going to take a pinch of this and put it over here and a pinch of that.
Exactly. And so a lot of people come to me and they be like, well, I was reading your book and it was such and such. But then once I started reading it, I said, nah, that couldn't be them. Because I've been going to switch it up. When in actuality, it really was such and such. I just kind of flipped it up and added somebody else to it to change it around. Like, I might give one person's looks and another person's characteristics and what another person drives or where they go to school. Like, yeah, it'd be like a gumbo. I created like a gumbo.
Hot luck.
Exactly. All the characters.
I don't usually ask. Even when I do the magazine, I keep a log of everything that I do ask people, because I hate to see an interview with the same old questions in it over and over and over and over again. So, but there is a question that I do ask, and it is about when you write. Is everybody you?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Like, most all of the women have real jazzy mouth, snappy attitudes, sarcastic comebacks and stuff like that, and that's me and my mama. Like, we don't have to think twice. Like, we never had to think, don't have to think twice. We'll always come back with something real fast, real quick for you. So that right there, that part, and then, like, the strong personalities, I have a very strong personality. Like, I, even if I'm weak in one area, I'm going to be super strong in another area, and most of the women that I write about are like that.
Okay. I can see that. I always ask because I think the stronger characters are the ones that we, sprinkle ourselves into, because then they become so real to us, we can kind of, like you said, put a piece of this, your friend that, that sleep around with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
You're a nice girl. You don't want the nice girl part. You just want the sleep around part. You know what I mean? But the person that, the characters that have the ingredients of not stuff you heard, but people you either really are really close to, like you say, your mom and yourself, are some of your stronger characters. Who has the strongest voice in your books?
I have put a lot of, because like I said, I have a very strong personality, a lot of me even go in the men.
Hmm. You said in the men?
Mm-hmm.
I know that's right.
Yeah, a lot of me even go into men. Because, like, with the first book, with the lick read, like, it was a set of triplets. And in actuality, all three of them were me.
Oh, wow. I never heard that one. I know Treasure Blue.
Yeah.
He writes, that's a boy. And he writes straight from a woman's perspective. And that's what everybody asks. Oh, where is my dad?
Yeah.
How can you even write from a female perspective? But when you pay attention to all the females that you write about, they are him. Smart ass.
Yeah.
And they have a strong sense of him. So I guess on the other end, it makes a lot of sense that that would be the same for your men at being a female.
But if you know me, you would know that. Because, like, when my best friend read the book, because she know me so well, she was like, this you right here. I remember when this happened. That's something you will say. Like, she was like, when she was reading it, she was actually hearing my voice. Even the male part. Because she know me, and she's around me so much. We've been friends for over 20 years.
Right.
So, yeah.
My friend just sent me one of her books that she is writing. She was writing a collab with two other people. And she was like, can you pull me out of, she didn't tell me who wrote what, and I'm like, that's you.
Yeah, because you know her. You know her personality, and you know the things she'll say and how she'll react to different situations. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like,
so what,
and with the lick read,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Because, and with the lick read, I said it was triplets, but it was two girls and a boy. And the boy, he wasn't a mute, but he didn't talk for a long time because they picked on him because he stuttered, and then he had a lisp. But that was me. I didn't talk for, like, a whole 2 years after I started school because they picked on me for so long. So it's like a lot of me. If you know me, you'll be like, wait a minute, that's seven. So, yeah.
Wow. So tell us what's going on. What's going on? We know you're revamping. Everybody, so be on the lookout for 7 McCray
I will be announcing some new writers that I've already signed. I'm just waiting. I'll be announcing them soon. I have a box set that is about to drop. It has eight books in it. From 7 McCray Presents. A lot of them have been re-edited, and it also has a new short story from me called Bitter Bitches. Yeah, called Bitter Bitches. Each story that's been previously published kind of has like a preface or a letter because the context of the box set is this crazy kind of love. And I'm doing it because, you know, it's Valentine's Month and love and all that. And all these stories kind of have a spin on it because it's part of the situations involving love.
Okay.
So that will be the first thing that comes out.
Based on your name. I thought you were going to say seven books. Seven by Seven McCrae, seven books. So,
nah.
All right. So you will be, where can they find, we got about 5 minutes. So where can they find the link? Will you be posting that soon for submission?
Yes. Yes, I will be posting that soon. As soon as next week, I will be posting that soon. And everything will be on 7mccrae.com. And everything will be on all of my social media, which is just 7mccrae. And I will be accepting submissions very, very soon. And I'm also finishing up Love and Trap Houses 2. It was supposed to be released at the beginning of this month, but like I said, my mom just passed, so that kind of stopped me in my tracks. But it's so close to finish that I can smell it. So I will be going back in the lab, working on that super duper hard, so I can go ahead and bring that to people because everyone is waiting for that.
Sorry to hear about your mom. And
thank you.
Sometimes when you go in the lab, girl, though, it's therapy, ain't it?
Yes,
so,
yes.
Because you can hide in your own stuff. Same way when we used to be readers, we were hiding in those books. And, you know, the best thing is to hide in your own, because then you could create whatever world you need to be in. So,
yes, exactly.
We'd like to have you back on. When you do the revamp of 7mccrae Presents, and
I would love to come on and bring my authors as well, because they got some good stuff coming. They have some awesome things coming.
Just make sure you hit me up, because you know I just don't have Let's Talk Urban. I have we just started Penetration After Dark, and that's with Jonna B. She's through Quan, what's that?
I like her. I like her. Her book. Mm-hmm. I read her book up under Quan.
Yeah, Wicked Deceptions it is. And then and writing partner for something that's going to be coming out, Chris Renee, they have a show together. Then I brought on Treasure Blue. He'll have a show starting on the 21st called The Blueprint. And then it's Let's Talk Urban. Oh, and then Pillow Talk, me and my wife, we have that. And then Let's Talk Urban. Oh, and the Nanosecond, it is more spiritual, something that, you know, really tap into. And so just bring them on, girl. We have to separate them and get them out. And get them some exposure.
Yes, I would love it. And thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
No problem. That's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to be here for. People forget, but that's what we're supposed to be here for. This ain't about me. This ain't about nothing personal. This is really supposed to be about authors. And it really is supposed to be about Shine. And I don't care if you got seven listeners. That's
something.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'd like to thank you, though, for coming up here. And we will be dropping the archive in a few rooms so people will be able to get to know Seven that didn't get to know him tonight. Again, we'd like to thank you for coming out and stepping on the platform of Let's Talk Urban.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night. Have a good one.
Two. It's time to say goodnight, guys.
You're tuned in to Let's Talk Urban with host Felicia Bradshaw at Urban Grapevine Magazine Project. Your number one source for the hottest author in urban fiction talk. Get put on. Book it at let's.talk.urban1@gmail.com. Boom.